Welcome to the Futile Podcast. We got Ian, we got Zach, we got a few other people. You saw the Angels and Demons, and you said it was better than the...
Hey guys, quiet down. My gosh. Have some respect. Yeah, Angels and Demons it was much better because it was a much better looking movie with a lot of...
Still Ron Howard though, right?
Still Ron Howard, and I don't know how much of the crew was actually the same, but the... The cinematography was fantastic. Actually, the Hans Zimmer score was really good.
You like Zimmer, though, right?
I do like Zimmer sometimes, but this one in particular was like more impressive than a lot of it. It was really memorable.
Did you see this one, Ryan?
No.
I read the book. I haven't seen either of them. Are you serious?
I read both books.
Here's the thing they did that was really smart, because the only thing I thought of when... spoiler alert for anyone who reads the books. The climax of Angels and Demons is that there's an explosion.
Is it the helicopter?
The helicopter explosion, and the bad guy floats down on a helicopter, on a parachute, but Robert Langdon was in the helicopter too. And they do one of those throwaway, like, you know how somebody gives you a bit of advice in the beginning of a mystery, and that ends up being something that saves someone's life?
Oh yeah, of course.
Here was the dumb bit of advice he got. He was walking around, and he happened to look on a book that said, like, if you fall out of an airplane... You know, if you
he's talking to the scientists.
Yeah, remember? The scientists they went told to that, him like, something that, like, was like, you know, if you fell out of an airplane, like theoretically, you could like flatten your body enough that you would slow yourself down and like hit something at such an angle that, you know. So anyway,
he says like that, like out of nowhere, he says something about how if you have like a certain piece of plywood that's big enough, remember, it'll like. So much drag.
Right. You want to create ground effect.
You want to create so many drag per square, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. Something dumb like that.
Or like plywood.
And so, anyway, the big climax is that Robert Langdon survives falling out of a helicopter that exploded like a mile and a half up in the air. And he...
So like Delta Force 2 Colombian Connection
style.
Yeah,
but he kind of just like shoots himself out and straightens himself and does the drag thing and opens
his... Does he have plywood?
Jacket.
Or just his hair is...
No, here's... They cut it out of the movie.
That whole thing?
It happens, except for he's not in the helicopter. Oh, so, like, they wised up.
Twist.
And here was the weirdest thing. It was written by... Who are the two biggest hack writers in the history of Hollywood over the last, like, 20 years?
The biggest hack writers in the history... Isn't one of them Akiva Goldsman?
And who's the other one? Goldsman.
Goldsman.
Who's the other one? He wrote Jurassic Park, The Lost World.
Oh, yeah, co-op. Your buddy David
Kep.
David Kep.
So, this movie was written by both of them. It's written by David Kep and Akiva Goldsman.
They gangbanged Angels and Demons.
They did. So basically, like, anyone who's had hand in, like, major blockbusters was involved in this movie. But the main problem with it is still that the main character is someone who, like, the Catholic Church is like, listen, there's, you know, it's ludicrous. Like, somebody steals some antimatter, and they're going to use it to blow up Vatican City. you know, because, and they want the Catholic Church to believe that it's the Illuminati getting back at them for, because 600 years ago they killed a bunch of Illuminati people.
Yeah.
Oh, you got some Sasha Gray information?
Still, yeah, dude.
Oh, nice. Is she Russian?
What does she sound like?
She's doing it to feed her family.
Probably. Yeah, she's just like a Russian sex slave. That's what she looks like.
And she found a way to do it without actually having to stick with one man.
Good job.
Anyway, that's the basic plot. So they go, please, Robert Langdon, you helped us last time. So Angels
it's a prequel,
and Demons,
right?
Angels and Demons, the book, is a prequel. The sequel, it's recast as a sequel in this movie. Because they're really unrelated.
Yeah.
But at a few points, one of the Catholic people goes, we know about your Catholic shaming shenanigans, but we're going to ask for your help anyway because you know the shame of the Catholics so well, you know? And he's like, yeah, whatever. But the problem is, so they come to him, they're like, please help us. Millions of people will die. And he's like, all right. And then, like, they walk him through the halls of you know, the Vatican, and he's like, nice statues. I see how Pope whatever chopped off their wieners back in the 12th century.
Because does he use the word wiener?
Because, I don't remember what he said. Something about, yeah. And,
so it's Tom Hanks being sanctimonious for
a
while?
It's not Tom Hanks. It's Dan Brown being sanctimonious.
Is it, as obvious in the movie who the bad guy is?
It's pretty obvious.
Because, like, in the book, as soon as they introduce this character, you're like, oh, the bad guy.
Yeah. Everyone who's, like, kind of snarling and mean, you're like, oh, that's not a bad guy. And then the good guy is like, the obvious bad guy is like, oh, please, please, oh, dear Lord, you know, like, and, so this one was, first of all, I think the Da Vinci Code made $760 million or something.
This
something
beat Star Trek on week two.
Something ridiculous. Utterly stupid. But it, everyone who didn't see it, like, I think they figured, you know what? If this was somehow pro-Christian, then it could have made even more money. because Angels and Demons is, like, really kind of like a both sides of the story type thing, where, like, the theme really is, you know...
Well, ever since...
There should be a meshing of technology and science.
Yeah.
There should be... or science and religion. Like, you know, they are not mutually exclusive. They can be interwoven, which is a stance the Catholic Church is now taking. And that ends up being a big theme in it. But at the heart of it, the guy who's supposed to be the good guy is just such a pompous, smug, self-satisfied person who's so happy to point out all the flaws in everyone's faith.
God, it seems like it would have been better to get Clooney to do this rather than Tom Hanks.
No, that's the thing, is Tom Hanks is definitely a more likable person than George Clooney.
That's what I mean. It sounds like the character isn't very likable, and you're saying he's not. It just seems like it's difficult to see someone like
Tom. He makes it kind of benign, but I mean, that all shines through. Tom Hanks can't ever really, I mean, he just kind of looks stunned, like someone goes, oh, look, some antimatter's about to blow up, and he's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
He just kind of looks disturbed, you know? And then the girl who's in it, who in the book... was basically the same character that the female in Da Vinci Code was. Like, mm-hmm. they play the same role. Like, oh, my grandpa. You know, like, both times it's something like that. You know, in this one, the girl's, like, grandpa or uncle was one of the scientists, and he gets killed and his eye gets poked out so that the bad guy can... They both are almost the same book. They really are. Like, somebody behind the shadows is pulling some strings to make it look like someone's killing all these people, but they've hired one person to kill, like, 1,000 people. Like, in Da Vinci Code, it's the albino monk, like, who's rolling around the world with a Glock.
Connolly's husband, right?
Yeah. And in this one, it's just this guy who looks like... he looks like the guy in the wheelchair from Dark Angel. It's not him, though, because he had a little accent. And this guy kills, like, 100 people. he has a gun with a silencer. There's one part where he basically has to lead them from church to church because he's trying to find this 4 captured cardinals who are the people that they assume will be voted in to be the new pope because the old pope has just died.
That was a really thrilling part. I remember that in the book.
Yeah, the conclave. And so he's leading from thing to thing, and they finally get to one where the pope's still alive. He's in the process of being burned to death above something. And they're like, quick, get the pope down. But the bad guy's still in there. And, like, well, the scene is kind of funny because the door's open and cops just keep piling in. And one by one, they're just shot to death by the guy who's like... and he just, like, keeps doing that. And finally, they get a few shots at him. And he, like, rolls under a thing. And he shoots a few when he's under the pew. And then pew. And then they just keep doing that. And then, I don't know. And, like, of course, the only person who gets away is Robert Langdon, who flees for his life as soon as violence happens.
He's like, oh, God.
Yeah, like, Dan Brown was always like, you know, I imagine Robert Langdon as an intellectual Indiana Jones, but Indiana Jones is way smarter than Robert Langdon. And, like, it's not just a bravery issue, it's the fact that, like, Robert Langdon's always, like, wanting to flee to the nearest grate to crawl into. Like, he tries to do it, like, 3 times in this movie. Something bad happens, and he's like, oh, I gotta try to kick this grate open so I can just crawl my stomach away like a worm.
Is that the one, like... Was it in Angels and Demons when he's, like, in the library and he's, like, got to, like, find something? He has to, like, read all this shit. And then, like, he's, like, running out of oxygen or something?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's so stupid.
The best thing he can do, I read one review that was, they kind of funnily put it, that it was, like, you know, he's a man of action. As soon as, you know, there's an hour before something's going to blow up. So, of course, he goes to the library. And he's like, we got to find, you know, a clue. And, you know, and they peruse ancient texts, and then he's like... And the dumbest thing is that he can't even read the language they're in, so he's always like, yes, I found it. Then he's like, what does this say? Like, he finds pictures, and then he's like, what does the words next to these pictures say? And then the guy who can speak Latin is like, it says this.
And people just eat this shit up and buy the books and watch the movies?
Yeah.
And really? It baffles me.
People like conspiracy stuff, first of all. But,
yeah, but there's good conspiracy. And
well, their conspiracy with controversy is what's interesting. The controversy is all people care about.
They want to seem hip at the water cooler.
If Oprah was suddenly like, you know, I'm appalled by this book that somebody wrote about a kitten raping a bunch of people. Mm-hmm. And everyone would buy that book. And it would become a smash movie. The kitten would be played by...
I think
by,
I'd like to watch that, though.
I probably would, too. The kitten would be played by...
Corey Haim making a return.
Maybe Corey Haim. No, he was in Crank too. He already made a return.
I gotta check that out.
Yeah, is he still, like, really fat?
No, he didn't. The only thing I could recognize him by was his eyes, because he had this crazy spiky hair, blonde, dyed mullet, and like sleeveless t-shirt. And you look kind of a little ripped, man. Like the old core.
The Haim that we all know and love.
Yeah. Anyway,
Haim days.
Yeah. Ooh, I like your style.
That was basically Angels and Demons.
Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds really good.
But afterwards, I was like, man, that was so much better, but it was still not very good. Like that's the
I
thing.
Didn't
I
see Da Vinci Code either.
Da Vinci, the movie, you know, the book was annoying. The Dan Brown's problem when he's writing is that he follows this rhythm of, like, at the end of every chapter, there's a massive cliffhanger. And then 16, like, his chapters are tiny, too. Like, there was, like, 100 chapters in Angels and Demons, which is, like, 250 pages long. So, like, every 2.5 pages, it's another chapter. It's like, he opened the door, she was gone. Chapter 3. Like, that's seriously a chapter. And he makes
it very consumable.
He makes
that
the
way.
End of each chapter a massive cliffhanger. Like, someone's about to die. Guess find out what happens next when you turn the page.
Oh my god.
And then you do that.
He should start writing a choose your own adventure book.
It sounds damn near like it, yeah.
And the problem with that is that they have to try to make that happen in the movie also. But a movie doesn't follow those beats. You can only have so many cliffhangers in a movie. You can, in the most, you can have like 3.
Well, and like we were talking about with Star Trek, at a certain point, you're having all these set piece action things happen, and it's almost like, okay, this isn't working anymore. It turns into a series, like a carnival ride rather than a movie, and yeah, it's problematic.
Anyway, I would give it a 2 out of 5.
Okay. Maybe
2 out of 5.
So
they tried.
Wait and run.
And they took out all the Da Vinci Code had all this stuff where he. It's a movie about him explaining what's happening in paintings, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's really boring. So what they did in the movie was, like, you're looking at that painting and suddenly there's words popping out and going, woohoo! And, like,
yeah.
The picture's spinning around and, you know, like, that's how they made it interesting. And the screen was full of junk like that, like CGI text.
Uh-huh.
And there's none of that in this movie. So, like, he must have heard that, like, people really hated that.
Probably. So, I don't think so.
Good job, Opie. You did it again. I wish Clint Howard was in it, honestly.
Oh, man.
He should have played Tom Hanks' part. It would have been so much better.
Oh, my gosh. Ron Howard should make massive blockbuster movies and just have Clint Howard play the main character.
He should do at least one movie.
Sam Raimi
like
has Ted Raimi and everything, right?
I haven't seen him in like the Spider-Man movies.
He was in like 2 of them.
A little bit. I just remember him from Army of Darkness with the "You'll have my steel."
Right. Yeah. He shows up for like 2 minutes and all.
I remember him in Sequest. He was awesome in Sequest.
Guess lame.
Yeah, he's no Clint Howard. Clint Howard. They should make like a Clint Howard should make a one man show, like a John Leguizamo type one man show.
Where he talks about his painful Latin upbringing.
Right, yeah. About
Clint, the
so
only
ugly.
The only pain in Clint Howard's life could be that he's just hideously ugly.
He looks horrible, man.
He's really terrible looking.
I mean, you won't look that bad for another
no.
5 years, probably.
It's gonna be maybe. I don't know. He's way more tan than me. That's for
that's
sure.
That's true. Yeah.
He's got that going for him.
That's his.
Then he also has a head shaped like an upside down triangle, and and hit,
I can
like
see that, kind of, I guess.
There's something weird about his eyes too. It looks like he's wearing eyeshadow like underneath them.
Kind he of. Looks like he's always looking up a little.
I think you're gonna have to pull up a picture. I don't.
Yeah,
I gotta see.
You gotta remember what Clint Howard looks like, real quick. Oh, I got a thing about the world's smallest cat on here for Blaine to watch. Also,
the world's smallest cat.
Yeah, it's a new. It might be a new world record. I found it on CNN.com, and it's a video about somebody petting the world's smallest cute cat.
That sounds precious.
It weighs 1.5 pounds.
Oh man,
that sounds cute.
You
could fit so many of those in a sink.
Oh yeah, man. Check the teacup dogs. Remember I was talking about this?
Oh man, look at that hat that he's wearing in that.
Yeah, that hat one's pretty good. See, like something like this, like he doesn't look too terrible there.
Yeah, how can you say that? He doesn't even look like he's from this planet.
You know what's funny is that have you seen Ron Howard lately?
No.
Every day
like
Ron
that?
Howard looks more and more like Clint Howard.
That's his curse.
Ron Howard. Here, I'll find you a good Ron Howard. Look at this, like seriously.
Oh yeah.
He's like,
at least he owns it. I mean, you know,
how does he own it?
He's like, he's not getting plugs or anything. He's like, yeah, I know you all know what I looked like when I was younger, and I don't look like that anymore.
He does look pretty terrible though.
He was such a cutie.
Yeah, he was when he was like a little kid.
Yeah, remember that?
And when he was a teen,
and A.B. was always telling him not to steal her pies or whatever. I never watched the show. Really, I'm assuming that's what happened.